From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
Hello and welcome to IFN Podcast. My name is Vinita Tan, the managing editor of IFN. It has been a rollercoaster of a year, with the pandemic having far-reaching impact across all sectors of the financial markets, including commodities. Now, in today's show, we speak to Stephen Openshaw, CEO and Managing Director of UK-based IGA Trading, to find out more about how the Islamic commodities market is doing. Hi, Stephen, and welcome to the show. We were very glad to have you here today. We're going to talk about commodities. So obviously, commodities are a huge universe, but I'm hoping to have a discussion today on certain commodities that are perhaps most relevant or most used by the Islamic financial industry. Let us start with metals. So do tell us, what are some of the strongest trends we've witnessed in the metals markets? You know, which metals did well and which did not?
In terms of for our markets, we tend to use commodities which are readily available, and those are primarily copper, aluminium, platinum and palladium. In terms of pricing trends, it's very important for us, the price of the commodities, and to actually understand the direction of those prices. Because as you can understand, the lower the price of the commodity, the more commodity is required for the same size of transaction. So, as I say, the pricing of those commodities is very important to us. The pricing of the commodities this year has been fairly volatile, as you can understand, with the pandemic having started in the start of the year. And the commodities themselves are affected by the health of the global economy. Something like copper, which is application is widespread in all sectors of the economy. And you look at power generation, construction, equipment and electronics. And you had the prices at the start of the year around about $6,300 per tonne. And as the pandemic hit and towards May, we're looking precipitous drop down to about $4,700 per metric tonne. With the recovery of the economies, then you're seeing that cover, and copper currently is around about 7,700. So that gives you an indication of how demand for the commodity has improved throughout the year from the lows of March. And you're seeing the same type of recovery or same kind of price movement across all of the commodities, given that they are all dependent upon how the global economy is performing at the moment.
Understandably, the market is affected, very volatile, as you have rightly mentioned, because of how the economy is doing. Now, with the news of like the vaccine, do you think then that would help with demand next year going into 2021?
One would have thought so, but given that the global economies have been battered in the year, it really is just a case of trying to understand how the vaccine will affect the global economies. I believe that it's going to be very slow, and I don't see, you know, it's going to be the middle of the year before we see an appreciable effect. So from that point of view, although demand will slowly increase through the year, as long as the vaccine is proved effective, then I would suspect that prices will remain around about these levels, possibly even lower, because I think some of the effects of last year are still to be seen in the economies. We're still seeing layoffs in major industries. Employment is poor. So, as I say, I think there are still some headwinds as far as the economies are concerned, and therefore I would expect not too much of an increase in commodity prices over the near future. But I say it's we're in uncertain times, and I wouldn't like to put too much money on where this is going to go to.
So, Stephen, I have a question about sustainability. Ethical finance, or ESG, as I have truly taken center stage, not only in the conventional space, but also within the Islamic finance space, as we have seen many Islamic financial institutions integrate and trying to ensure their operations and products support such themes. So obviously, in the business of natural resources or commodities, such as metals and energy, which we've talked about, exploitation, let it be environmental labor, are unfortunately more endemic than we'd like. So how do service providers like yourself ensure that, you know, the traits that you facilitate maintain social justice integrity?
So sustainability is very, very important to us. We undertake a due diligence on all our suppliers to ensure that they're acting ethically. I think we're taking great strides as a company to act diligently as we go forward. We're looking at the UN sustainability goals. I know there are 17 of them, but we have three of them which we're actively pursuing to contribute to the change. We're looking at the reduction of poverty. We're looking at gender equity and responsible consumption. And we have resources which are specifically looking at these and looking to improve our processes to deliver these goals.
Aigo operates in the commodity murabaha trading space. So while you're not a traditional Islamic financial institution, the brokers or intermediaries like yourself do play a very, very crucial and integral role in supporting the industry. So with Islamic banks taking a hit this year in terms of, you know, new business generations, financing moratoriums, and even declining asset quality, how has this impacted like ancillary service providers like yourself?
There's been both a positive and a negative effect. I think underlying business from our clients has drifted lower, and we've seen that from about March onwards, although there is a recovery at the moment. But having said that, there's an offset in that decrease in the underlying volumes and transactions. As we've been focusing intently on like automation of process, and it's something we've been focusing on for many years now, for the last 5 or 6 years. But with the onset of the pandemic, it's been a massive focus, especially within the GCC, in terms of fintechs coming on to both disrupt and enable current markets. And all the work we've done in the past to automate transactions, automate process, both ours and the client, has seen that we've attracted a large number of fintech companies who want to work with us. And so when we say there's a decrease in volumes of transactions, this is from existing clients, but we're seeing an equal offset from an increase in transactions from these disruptors. And this is a trend that we think will continue for the next 2 or 3 years, purely on the number of companies that we're talking to at the moment.
That's really, really interesting. So the interest from these disruptors, can you paint a picture of like where are they from, like from which region?
The GCC has, from our perspective, has been at the forefront of this. We're seeing jurisdictions such as Bahrain especially, Saudi Arabia, who are actively encouraging fintechs, startups within their jurisdictions. And we are working very closely with these areas. So this is where, from Aiga's point of view, we're seeing a great pickup. Although, again, Malaysia as well is certainly amongst those countries which are at the forefront of this movement.
So definitely fintech is an area of new opportunity for you guys. So apart from that, where do you see the biggest like growth opportunity for your business next year?
It's from the fintech side, from disruptors with no... the number of new companies coming through, not all will succeed, but many of them will do. And it's also creating a mood of change within the major banking institutions as well, who are being forced to compete with these companies. And they can do that either organically or they can do it by acquisition. And that's where we may see some change over the coming year or so.
So as we're wrapping up 2020, I'm curious to know what's your outlook for 2021? Really, what's Aiga's focus for the coming year? How do you think markets will perform next year? Would there be any change in your business strategy?
It's an interesting question because I'm not quite sure where next year is going to go to, really. But in terms of our strategy has been constant over the last 10-12 years. We've grown organically. We've looked at our clients and what our clients want, and our clients want an efficient service, a speedy service, and that's what we're delivering and what we will continue to deliver. And we see this as a trend going forward for the next 2 or 3 years. In terms of where this market is going, I think we're in an exciting market. I think there's so much change going on at the moment. We're going to see a lot of banks looking to merge, and that trend has already started last year and is continuing this year, and that in itself is going to throw us some challenges. I believe we're entering an exciting time. I know this pandemic is obviously adversely affecting great swathes of the population, but it is throwing up opportunities, and companies will take advantage of that, who are agile. And I think we are very agile.
All right. Thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us today. I really appreciate, you know, your time and perspectives on what we discussed today.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.